So let us learn to celebrate our men. In fact, the role of men is so important that the Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8, quickly please. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8. There's a lot of pressure on men. The Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law. That's actually teaching. If you check a lot of other translations, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. So there's a lot of pressure. The man, now I'm talking in the kingdom now. I'm not talking in the secular world. People in the secular world can choose whatever they want to do. And if you're here, even if your husband is not born again or is not a Christian, your character, your attitude is what will encourage him. So don't condemn your husband that is not a born again or that is not a Christian or that is not doing the things that you do. Don't let your character, let the way your obedience, your humility, your submission can bring that man to God. So there's a lot of pressure on them. They need to lead the way. They need to lead the way. So they are the one that give, they give instruction. It is instruction that they give that the women teach the children on. That is the order of God. That's the order of God. So today I'm just going to be talking briefly on the title of our men's Father's Day, which says new man. But I'm going to be shocking every one of us. It's not the new man the way that, of course, the Bible says if a man is in Christ, is what? Is a new creature. The Bible says, behold, all things are what? Become new. All things have passed away. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. But that's not the point this morning. The point this morning is that we know that something is associated with new, with that word new. So the word new man, and every one of us, it doesn't matter if you are not a man in the house, whatever you are, whichever of the gender you are, you can also benefit out of the word of God this morning. So I want us to pay attention. And if you are writing, please write well this morning. The word new is associated with, you know, new things. But I'm picking one word this morning, new experiences. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So what makes a new man is because the man is enjoying new experiences. So I'm not talking about born again this morning. Maybe towards the end of the message, well, if the Holy Spirit helps me and I remember, I may talk about that briefly. And if anybody wants to come to Christ, we'll just talk about that briefly. But what we're talking about this morning as a new man is your ability to enjoy new experiences. So if anyone is going to, any man in the house this morning, if you are going to experience, have new experiences or enjoy new experiences, then you need to begin to do things differently. You need to begin to do things what? Differently, if you are going to enjoy new experiences. I know it's not always convenient for us to do things differently. It's not always convenient for us to just jump to something new. It's not always comfortable. Someone that is not all right, that desires a different result, but continues to do things the same way. So if you must experience something new, if you must experience, you know, new things in your life, then you need to begin to do things differently. You need to begin to do things differently. So I need you to begin to check yourself this morning as I'm speaking, as this word is coming out. If you are, you know, expecting, or you are trusting God, or you want something new in your life, then you need to watch the things that you have been doing and begin to do things differently. You need to begin to do things differently. The same thing goes to every woman in the house, every boy, every girl in the house. If you are going to have new experiences, you need to check yourself. How have I been doing things before now? What are the results that I've been getting? Then you need to learn to do things differently. However, everybody, almost everybody, sometimes will come to that point in life and say, okay, I want to try something new. But the question is, does everyone get their desired results when they try new things? That's the question this morning. And I'm posing that question to every one of us. We decide sometimes and say, okay, I'm going to, for example, maybe you have a particular routine and then you decide and say, okay, I'm going to change this my routine because I want to do things differently. The question I want to ask yourself this morning, as I'm asking myself as well, do I get the desired experience this morning? Because people say, okay, I'm not going to eat this fat of this kind. It's just like somebody that is struggling with belly fat. And then has gone to the doctor and said, what can I do about this, my belly fat? And maybe they say, now, don't take what I'm saying. I'm preaching. It's just an example. So maybe the doctor said, take lime, a glass of lime every day, every morning, right? And then the person says, oh, this is not very sweet in my mouth. I cannot continue to. I don't know if lime removes fat. Maybe it's Sister Tenny and the other medical people in the house. It does, right? Okay. My chemistry experience is still there then. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's only someone that does not know what he or she is doing, desires a different result, and continue to do the same thing. So discipline is important. Discipline is part of life. I'm going to share one scripture with us. Quickly, we're going to read together. I encourage you to open your scriptures. I know it's going to be displayed on the screen, but please open your own Bible as well and read Luke chapter 5. It's a very familiar story. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read it from verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 5 from verses 1 to 11. Please open your scriptures. It's on the screen, fine, but please open your scriptures. Luke is in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped, verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Verse 7. So they signaled to their partners. I pray that will be the miracle of someone in the name of Jesus. You will not be able to contain your miracle. You will have to call for help. You will have to call for people to come and assist you because of the greatness that God will do in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So they called their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees at Jesus' knee, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 10, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boat to land, they forsook all and followed him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. So to enjoy new experiences, I just have a few things to quickly talk about this morning. One, number one thing, a new man releases himself to God. If you must enjoy new experiences in life, the first thing you have to do is to release yourself totally to God. Is to release yourself totally to God. Hallelujah. Now, you see Peter here. What was the first thing Peter did? Peter released the most valuable thing to him, which was his means of livelihood, his boat. Jesus came and said, imagine a man that has toiled all night, a professional fisherman. He has toiled all night, and he has done everything that was possible. But there was no answer, there was no results. And Jesus came and told the same person, that's your very instrument of work. That's your instrument of livelihood. Surrender it to me. I need it. I want to use it. So if you are going to begin to enjoy the new experiences that you are supposed to enjoy as a new man this morning, you need to surrender yourself to God. And how? It starts by surrendering the things that are valuable to you to God. Do you know that if something is valuable to you, whenever you release that, you stay with that thing. That was what happened in the case of Peter. We didn't even know. Maybe Peter was listening to the message. The Bible didn't say anything to that. Maybe he was listening or he was not listening. But because his boat, he had left his boat for Jesus. He had no choice to say. And that is true. If you checked, the reason why most people don't attend churches on Sunday in Western world is because of what? Because of money. That is it. Because that is valuable to them. So I've seen that if you can release whatever is valuable to you, then you will follow suit. Because that is valuable to you, that's why you go after that. And you cannot have a full experience from God if you cannot release whatever is valuable to you to him. Because it's only when you release that to him, you have no choice. Peter had no choice than to stay there through. So if you must enjoy new experience, it starts by you releasing whatever is valuable to you, to God. It could be your time. It could be your attention. Maybe God is trying to get your attention and you have refused to release yourself to God. You know the mistake most of us make, and I say this and I say it confidently, God has a way of speaking to every man on the surface of the earth. It does not matter if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter. Because after all, before we became Christian, God was speaking to people. Is that not? God has a way of speaking to every man. Some people, it could be their dreams. Some people, it might be that they're just imagining something and they'll begin to see it happen. God has a system in place. I always tell us something. God does not need to come and check. Is a winter going to change to spring? No, it doesn't. It's a system that he has put in place. And that system continues like that. So the same way, so that person you are looking at outside as if this person is a sinner, God still has a way of speaking to that person. God has a way. So don't make that mistake, because that's the mistake we make. When we are going away from God, because we can see dreams, because we can see things happening, we think we are all right with God. No, you are not all right with God. Because it's just a system that God has in place. It speaks to every of his creation. Every of his creation. You see, when you go down the street, you see the way the trees go like this and they go like that, glorifying God. It's a system that God has put in place. It must work. It must continue to work. So maybe God is seeking your attention. It could be your job, actually, that God is telling you to let go and follow him. It could be that God has another plan for you. I say this and I say it every time. I'm confident of it because it's not my doing. It's not my making. It's not my making. God has brought me up to where I am today. But I am a man that has learned to let go for God at any point in time. I don't care. Whatever I'm going to go through, as long as I'm sure that, yes, this is God, I am ready to follow him. And I have never been disappointed. I have never been disappointed. And the same can be yours. It could even be that money that you are making. That God, I've never preached about money here. Maybe God will give me one grace one day and I'll preach about money. Praise the Lord. That's not the message that people like to hear. Again, that is the message that is used to manipulate people the more. And people continue to give their resources without even understanding. Praise the Lord. It could be your resources. Number two, when you release yourself to God, he speaks to you, he gives you direction. Now, that is the difference now between you and an ordinary man outside there. Because the way you get your own direction from God is acts. The way you get your own direction from God is different. Hallelujah. Tap your neighbor, say, don't sleep. I can see some eyes closing. We have gone to do night shifts. But thank God for us that we are still in church. Come on, give yourself a clap offering. Hallelujah. So when you release yourself to God, He speaks to you. He gives you direction. In releasing yourself to God, you have to do it totally without holding back. You have to do it totally without holding back. The challenge with most men is that they still hold on to their knowledge. Let's look at verse 5a of where we read. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. He was literally saying that, this man, what do you know about fishing? What do you know about fishing? That is the way some of us are talking to God. That is the way. You don't know the way I'm feeling. You heard one of the testifiers said, God, this small thing you cannot do. Praise the Lord. But thank God that God answered that eventually. This small thing you cannot do. Thank God for that kind of mind. That sincere mind to reach out to God. Hallelujah. God does not disappoint. But some of us is our knowledge, too much of knowledge. God is saying, go to right. He said, no, I must go to left. Because this person went left. And all these testimonies that we have heard, don't think or assume your own process will be like this. Because somebody will not leave church now and said, this is how that testimony was like. So I need to do myself also like that. No, you are missing the point. You are missing the point. So if you are going to enjoy new experiences, you have to let go of your knowledge and allow the totality of God. You have to allow the totality of God. And thank God for Peter that he repented and said, well, nonetheless, grudgingly, at thy word. But because God is God, whenever God speaks, whenever you are sure, you are certain that God is the one speaking to you, please write it, paste it somewhere and be looking at it. Because He's going to do what He said. He's going to do what He does what He says. He does what He says. Irrespective, it does not matter. Because the judgment of God is not based on you. It's not based on what you do. God honors His word. He honors His word. When you surrender to God and you claim to know, there are two things now, two different things. You have surrendered to God. You know, somebody was preaching sometime and said some people, when they have given their life to Christ, that's why when they call altar call, they keep coming out. Who wants to give their life to Christ? They'll come out again. Because the moment they gave their life to God, they took it again and said, no, I still want to use my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you surrender to God and you claim to know, you can't enjoy God. Your knowledge can sometimes become a hindrance to you enjoying God's plan when you know too much. Because sometimes God wants to bring you to that point and say, follow me. Let me lead you. Let me show you the path of life. I think Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3, if I'm not mistaken, you know, God was telling Jeremiah, He said, come. He said, I will show you greater mighty things. There are lots of things that God has in store that He wants to show us. But sometimes because we know too much, we have the mechanism, we understand how things should run. But God does not work that way. He has a plan for you, and it's a unique plan. One of the things I have noticed in my life is that God likes to suspend protocols for me. That's one of the things. It was in this country. I came to this country because of what God was telling me with a visitor visa. And I encourage you this morning, don't overstay your welcome in any country. Don't. It will just spoil, it will damage your record. When your time is done, leave. It will be easier for you to come back. You've heard people saying, go and marry somebody. And, you know, all those nonsense that people say. Don't get involved in it. It can mess your life up. Do things the right way. Even somebody said, go and declare asylum. Don't declare asylum. Government is collecting tax from somebody like me to pay you. Don't do that. And if you do that, you'll have to tell lies. You start using lies to cover lies. That's what you do. Do things properly. That is what shows that you are a child of God. You have gone to lie and you are praying to God. Praise God. The way God works with me, that's why I'm saying your experience will not be someone else's experience. I came here with a visitor visa, but because I knew what God told me, I applied right inside here at the time. It's not now that because of COVID, everything has become like everybody, just let my people go, everybody. No. When I came, you cannot apply for work permit as a visitor. You can't. In fact, even if you are going to apply for study permit, it must be that you have a family that is already a permanent resident in Canada or a citizen. That's when you can apply for work permit or for whatever. But because it was what God said, I was inside this place. I applied for work permit. God gave it. God suspended protocols for me. I've seen that's the way God does. That's the way God works with me. So you need to discover how God works with you. It won't be man's knowledge. It won't be your knowledge. It is the knowledge of God. It is how God wants you to do things. It is God speaking to you that this is the way you should go. This is the way you should do things. That's why I'm never disturbed. If immigration wants to check me out, if anybody wants to check me out, I'm not worried. Because somebody was saying, you say, check my file. Check it. Hallelujah. But I was not following the experiences of other people. I was following the way God was leading me. It's the same thing when you want to get married. It's the same thing when you want to pick up a job. It's the same thing when you want to change location. Be sure, be certain that God is the one leading you. Be certain. It is God leading you. You see people who come out and say, God told me. God told me. It's not. Now, let me quickly say this. Now, there's a difference between when God comes to speak to you and when you are going to press God. Can I have two persons? Please come forward. I just want to show an example. Any volunteer, I just need two persons. Two persons, please. Yeah, just stay here. Two persons. Now, take that phone. Take that phone. Okay. Now, I want you to give the phone to him so that it doesn't look as if we're abusing a woman. Praise God. You have to be careful in the Western world. Okay. Can you try to force him to give the phone to you? You're not willing to give her the phone. Try to force him to give the phone to you. Or keep asking or give me the phone or something like that. You know, this is the way some of us are to God sometimes. You cannot act drama. Praise God. She did it once as she was looking at me. Praise the Lord. Now, stop it now. Now, give her the phone. Which one is easier? The giving. That is the challenge. You can go, the two of you. You are not a good dramatist or something, but thank you for showing the example. Hallelujah. You know, that is the way it is. Sometimes when you praise God too much, the devil can set in. And then you will think it is God speaking to you. You know, Christians, we have... Wow, it's 12. I'll finish this message because it's very important. Hallelujah. Now, we have three things that speak to us, every one of us. We have the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. That's number one. We have familiar spirits speaking to us. Some of us don't know that familiar spirits is actually very evident in the churches, in the church of God. And it's like, who do familiar spirits speak to? They speak to children of God, of course. You think familiar spirit has anything to do with the devil? Those ones are already devil already. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you can speak to yourself. But a lot of times, you know that The first one, which is from God, that's separate. Do you know that these other two, when either familiar spirit is speaking to you or you're speaking to yourself, you still said, God told me. You still said, I prayed. I heard God. I pray that God will give us the patience to wait on God to speak. Because you can imagine if Peter, while Jesus was preaching, was saying, I need to go now. Can't you see? I did not get any fish or something. Jesus could have told him, okay, when you are going, you can still do a miracle for him. You can say, when you are going, you meet a man, the man will bless you with fish. Would you have been able to compare that with the result that he got at the end? So there is a difference when God himself is the one speaking to you and you are pressing God. Sometimes when you pray, God can tell you to wait. Wait means wait. If you must experience God in a different way. Wait, Peter had to wait since the very beginning when Jesus started preaching till the end of his preaching. So you wait till the end of my preaching this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So Peter, stop pressing God. Wait. Wait can mean wait without doing anything, but just waiting. Because if you are not careful, you may be hearing something that is totally different, that is not from God. Hallelujah. So Peter released his boat and waited till Jesus ended his preaching. While Jesus was preaching, if he was not patient, this is what I wrote here, and was disturbing Jesus, Jesus could have said to him, okay, just go your way. It is well with you. I pray that we'll have new experiences indeed in the mighty name of Jesus. And sometimes, like I said, your own knowledge can become the roadblock to the experience that God wants to give you. I pray that that will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So what makes the difference or brings new experiences is hearing God tell you what he wants you to do. And not just hearing what God wants you to do and doing what he wants you to do. You wait on him. One, you hear him tell you what he wants you to do. And three, you do what he wants you to do. That is what gives anybody a new experience in life. God speaks to you. You heard him. And then you do what he wants you to do. That's what gives you the experience, the new experience. And let me tell you this. It is okay to be isolated. Let people tell you you are different. For all of you giving testimony, especially maybe about bullying and all those kind of things, please continue to be you. It's okay to be isolated. It's okay to be isolated. Especially when you are certain that you are on the just path. Especially when you are certain that you are on the God's path. Especially when you are certain that you heard God clearly. Not when you went to press him and you got something else thinking that you heard God. So it's okay to be isolated. Be different. Let everybody say, is he the only one? Yes. Let it be that way. Let it be that way. You'll be glad for it in the end. And sometimes also, especially for the men in the house. God can choose, you know, men, we have ego. God can use anything and anyone around you to speak to you. Learn to understand and obey the voice of God. Learn to understand. There was a day I was walking on this street. I was still staying on George Street at the time. And I was waiting on God to hear, actually. You know, some of these people that, you know, just drive around and make noise during summer, just, you know, disturbing everybody around. And then he just yelled a word at me. Guess what? That was God giving me a word through that person. And I actually shared it with someone in the house. And then it happened the same way. So another thing that is very important for you, especially men, I'm talking to us this morning, including myself. You need to learn to hear God for yourself. You need to hear. Thank God for the Sunday school this morning. How do you hear God first? Can we say it? Studying the word of God. Studying the word of God. That is where it starts from. Because if you are not rooted in the word of God, it could be one spirit that is speaking to you and you think it's God. It could be one spirit. And one thing about familiar spirits is that it starts telling you the truth first before it starts to lead you away from God. I pray that will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So all the men in the house this morning, conquer your ego and conquer your fears. Listen to God. Hear God. Devise the means by which you can hear God, which is through the word of God first. That is the starting point. And then follow his biddings. And I pray that God will continue to bless us all in the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll continue to have wonderful new experiences in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Shall we rise on our feet this morning? I want you to just pray one prayer for yourself this morning. And the prayer is this. If you're here, you have not been hearing from God, or you cannot differentiate between what God is saying and what you're saying to yourself, why not go out this morning and pray that God will help you in the name of Jesus? Why not pray this morning? Because if Jesus was speaking to Peter and he was not understanding him, he will not be able to have that experience that he had. He will not, but he has done everything possible. He's done everything, but it cost nothing. All his experience, everything, brought nothing. So pray to God this morning that you'll be able to hear God the way he wants you to hear him, so that you can experience him in the way you should experience him. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lastly, I want you to pray this morning. Say, Lord, make me a new man. Make me have new experiences. If you're a woman, please pray for your husband. Today is Father's Day. So we are just praying for them. Make my husband have new experiences. Wonderful experiences. Make my husband a new man indeed. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray for your husband in the house this morning. And if you're here, if you have never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you have never surrendered to the Lord, if you are not saved in the house, the truth is there is hell, there is heaven. I don't have time for message of salvation this morning, but I'm still telling you and I'm encouraging you. If you are here, you have never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. If you want to do so this morning, you may just see me after the service immediately. You want to have a relationship with Christ. You want to know about everything I've been talking about since morning. Make sure you see me after the service. Please, let's pray. Let's pray for the men. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, we just want to thank you for this word today, Lord. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that you bless every man in this place today. In the name of Jesus. Give each and every one of us a newer experience in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answer prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.